Good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I'm craving a little perspective.
That's it? I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're exploring energy found in both our environment and in objects, and how they can actually play a key role in your health and happiness. Later on in the hour, we'll be delving deep into limiting beliefs and how to get past your own set that you've created for yourself. You know, last week I was walking into a large chain coffee shop. I was meeting someone for the very first time, and we all know how meeting someone for the first time can be. You know, it's new, you've never met them before, you're always a little uneasy, you don't know what to really expect. You know, and in this case, we had never spoken on the phone, right? We've never seen each other. And so I'm going just meeting on from a mutual friend. And so that's totally cool. So I end up parking in the back of the coffee shop and I walk through. And as I'm walking through, I instantly feel something a little off. Like I instantly feel just some really kind of odd energy. You know, a friend of mine always used that word wonky energy, wonky. And, you know, when you walk in, you have this energy that's just kind of odd and off. You start kind of wondering about your meeting. You start kind of wondering if you're in the right place. Billy, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. About yourself, Ashley?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Have you ever been in that situation where you walk into somewhere and it's like everything was fine until you walked in there and then all of a sudden you kind of feel just a little off?
Yeah, I hear the Twilight Zone music going, you know, in the background. But yes, I mean, something just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, you know, either like the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, which is like an extreme, or maybe you just kind of go, I don't know if I want to be here.
In my case, you know what happens to me sometimes? I hear like a really high-pitched whistle.
Really?
Like you've been listening to loud music, eardrums, you know? Sometimes I walk into a place and I see, hear this high pitch.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like my radar is on or something like that.
It's probably saying, hey, Billy, get out of here. It's not your place to be. Go, run for your life.
Yeah, the fight or flight response. Yeah.
It is. And I felt that before where you just kind of feel like, oh, and this kind of happened the other day when I was going to meet, you know, this new person for coffee that was talking about working with our show and getting involved. And I was thinking, okay, this is great. But when I walked in, I felt like a little off, but even more than that, I kind of started looking around. And after I found the person I'm meeting, I said, hey, how you doing? And I said, why don't we go on and get some coffee? So as we're, you know, walking up to the counter where you order the coffee at, and everybody kind of understands that you order where the cashier is. Okay, that's kind of the way that this one works. It's not a deli. It's not a delicatessen. You walk up, you pay, you order. And so there were people like milling all around, like kind of walking aimlessly around. And this place isn't that big. Also, there are people standing in the wrong place to order. Like they were standing like behind the case. And I mean, like way far away. The cashier couldn't even see them.
Like behind the food case?
Like behind the food case, like way away. And I was thinking, I said, are you waiting in line? They're like, yes. And I was like, well, the line's probably over here. There's like complete confusion. And this particular chain doesn't have a lot of confusion to it. It's pretty much you walk in, you order, you give them your money, and you get the product. And so I kind of saw this. And then when I look back at the group of people that were sitting there, there was like a sea of people, and all of them either had like these looks of, I'm completely lost. And I think we've seen that look before.
I've seen it on myself many times, but yeah.
You've seen it on me, I've seen it on you.
Yeah.
So you know that look of being completely lost, or I saw like these really angry looking scowls. Like people were just, they were angry. I mean, they were angry or they didn't realize kind of how they looked. And maybe they were also interpreting what I was feeling as well. So we get to the counter, you know, we both offer to, you know, buy each other coffee. And he finally says, you know, let me buy it. It's just a cup of coffee. So we both get iced coffee. And as he hands his credit card to the lady, she runs it the wrong way first, like the opposite side.
Oh,
and then,
good grief.
You know, and then turns it around and runs it where the black part isn't, you know, where you're not supposed to run it. And then she finally turns it back around and runs it the right way. It only took three times. And I'm sure this wasn't her first time that she ran a credit card, you know, thing. So I thought that was kind of odd. And so I looked at him and I said, hey, I said, I know it's hot. And I don't know if everybody knows that Perspectives is broadcast out of Dallas, Texas. Okay. And it's Dallas, Texas. It's July. It's hot.
It's hotter than the sun here. Yes.
It's hot. I mean, the sun, we love the sun, but it is hot here. I mean, and he was in a suit and tie, but he even agreed to go outside. He's like, I agree to it. Let's go. So as we walked outside, sit down outside, instantaneous change. Instantaneous. I mean, the angst, the anxiety, the stress level I was feeling, as well as there was a feeling in the back of my head that was saying that this was all a waste of time, that also went away as well. And as I think my face is probably calming as I'm, you know, relaxing, I looked over at him and all of a sudden I just said, hey, I got to tell you what just happened. I got to tell you, I got to ask you if you felt any of this. And within a few seconds, he said he felt a lot of that similar thing. He didn't know. He thought, well, maybe we weren't supposed to meet, or maybe this wasn't the set right meeting or what have you. And so we both had that same feeling. But it really, what's funny is it had nothing to do with either one of us. And I think we've all been there before.
Right. You know, I that's happened to me. I've walked into places or situations and, you know, like I said earlier, the radar is
like beeping. The sound or something gives it off. Where you're, what do you do? Do you ever fight it, though?
No, I mean, a lot of times I'll still go do, you know, what I was there to do. But I'm more alert. I'm paying more attention to what's going on around me.
I think that's key. And I think also sometimes we don't want to try to rewrite everything. You know, sometimes it's good if it's not like a make it or break it, or if it's not like a work thing where you have to go. Sometimes it's good just to walk out, you know, change up the environment, or go outside and get some fresh air. You know, I've written books on negativity. I've written books on energy suckers. But, you know, I haven't written books on the environment or personal items or physical objects that hold certain feelings and thoughts that we create. I never really thought about that. It makes perfect sense. You know, I think we have a tendency to kind of believe that these types of things are all in our head, you know, like a figment of our imagination. But you know what? That's really far from the truth. It's the opposite of truth. You know, apparently we can actually write like W-R-I-T-E, write in a space. We can create and write thoughts and energy in a space. And I didn't really know about all that. I think it's very interesting. And another, you know, real life situation is these limiting beliefs that we create for ourselves. You know, for the most part, we all create limiting self-beliefs. And these limiting beliefs that I like to call them is, you know, mind-made limitations. And I think we've talked about that in the last few shows about mind-made limitations and how we can actually limit ourselves from success by things that we created in our mind when we were very young. And a lot of times our mind creates those to keep us from, you know, getting hurt, to keep us from past pain, to keep us from reoccurring pain. But later on down the road, when we don't actually deal with that, we actually create more pain for ourselves because we don't realize that these mind-made limitations have become these broken records that we actually, you know, choose our actions and choose our choices by the record that we hear. And it's interesting, the observations and observing and recognizing that you can actually disarm these limiting beliefs by observing. I mean, isn't that the key to everything, is observation? The first thing is to, you know how people always say you have to say you have a problem. You know, that's the first thing in rehab. Like, you have to admit that you have a problem. Okay, right. That's great. That means that you observe you have a problem. But if you don't observe anything and you don't know that you have self-limiting beliefs, then you can't stop them because they don't exist.
Well, you know, you've heard people say, okay, a gut feeling, gut instinct, or, you know, when applied to women, it's a woman's intuition, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just your natural instincts that human beings still have. I mean, we haven't outgrown, you know, our basic instincts.
Okay? Some people would like to ignore them, though.
I mean, well, I mean, like I said, we haven't outgrown them, but you've got to actually listen to them. And like you said, you know, and I found myself doing what you said just a few moments ago. I mean, so my little internal radar will go off. I'm just imagining things. you know, whatever. I'm just going to do, you know, I admit I've done that.
Oh, I've done it too. I mean, there's been times where I've done it. I mean, there's times that I didn't even know it existed. There were times when I thought, okay, even this last time at the coffee shop, I had to be very conscious to realize that, okay, yeah, that's not, you know, that's not me. That's not this person. And you know what? It's probably not even these people all in the shop. It's just a continued amount of energy that's flown in here that's created this, that people have actually created themselves and they've written in the space. And so think about how many people, you know, sit at a coffee shop for hours at a time and think about all the thoughts and feelings and things that are going through their head and think about how many thousands of people are there and think about all the residue of thoughts and all this stuff that's left in the space. So I thought, you know, no less and no better, obviously, join us tonight to give his perspective on space and energy, as well as how to eliminate or start eliminating your self-limiting behavior and the limitations you place, is a scientist, author, researcher, inventor, and our friend Richard Lee. Richard will be joining us here in the next segment to discuss all these options, as well as how to deal with writing in the space, how to overcome the space and the situation as it is, but also how to get past those self-limiting behaviors and how we can actually begin to observe they exist. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, you know what, we'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been exploring energy found in both our environment and in objects, and how they can actually play a key role in your health and happiness. Also, later on, we're delving deeper into limiting beliefs and how to get past your own set of beliefs that you've created for yourself, because we've all created our own limiting beliefs. That's just the reason, that's the way we are. That's how we kind of mutate as individuals. You know, at young ages, we create these thoughts to keep us away from danger, to keep us away from harm. And in our mind, those are stored, and eventually we create like these broken records, and those create our limiting beliefs. And sometimes we don't even hear the record anymore. Sometimes all we do is make judgment calls or make decisions for our life based on something we don't hear anymore, we don't even know exists. And the best way of going through that and dealing with that is observation. But first off, I think it's very important, because I wanted to find someone, and I knew that I knew someone that knew a lot about these subject matters and how to actually observe them and actually have them change and benefit you and your health. So joining us this evening is scientist, author, researcher, inventor, and our friend Richard Lee. Richard, great to have you on tonight live with Perspectives.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
It's great to have you on. So let's first talk about the idea of having energy and how you can actually write and have energy in an environment or in inanimate objects. I was talking earlier in the first segment about how I walked into this coffee shop, a large chain coffee shop, we won't say names, and how I walked in and I had this overwhelming feeling, and it had like angst, anxiety, stress, just like this culmination of feelings. Why is that I was feeling that? Because I know it wasn't in my head, and I know sometimes we write it off as, oh, I'm just dreaming this. But tell me a little bit why that's real.
Okay. First off, I guess we can say that it's real because so many of us experience it. It's real because it strongly affects our lives. But then my challenge has been, is it measurable? Is it something that is reproducible? And it appears that we can write thoughts and emotions into the space around us. And so when somebody walks into a coffee shop and they're having a bad day, they can just leave the coffee shop left with these thoughts and emotions that somebody else can just step into and feel what the other person was feeling before. And so that seems to be the fundamental yuck that sometimes in coffee shops and other places.
That's interesting. So when you say write, when you say W-R-I-T-E, write in a space, that means that just your thoughts, your feelings can come out and be left almost as a residue in that space.
Yeah. This is not very believable until we get some scientific evidence to back it up.
So let's talk about that. Let's move into this. So when people do have bad feelings, when people walk into a place and you are having a good time, you're feeling good, and all of a sudden you walk in somewhere and you start feeling like an instantaneous headache, you start feeling stress, and you know, things change. Your well-being, your equilibrium is off. What do you tell people to do at that point? As far as, you know, personally, should they walk outside? What should they do?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, certainly walking outside is a great thing to do. Right then you can separate, is it me or is it the space? By stepping outside, that seems the very quickest way to verify, no, this is not me. And so often we get confused about what is us and what is not us. And it's very important that we sort that out, particularly people who are really energetically sensitive.
I actually used to have a lot of issues sometimes years and years ago. I'm surprised that Bill didn't jump on that lots of issues thing. Years and years ago, I used to, when I walk into a room, way before I wrote my first book, I would walk into a room, and when I would feel like this negativity or this energy sucking that I've written about in my first and third book, I would think that there was something wrong physically with myself. Like, I would think maybe I ate something bad, or, you know, maybe it was within me. And it wasn't until I was able to understand that not everything is us. And I think a lot of times the human nature, it's hard for them and it's hard for us to see outside of our human body. It's hard to realize what is us and what ends from us and goes to the next place.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you scientifically prove that this exists?
Oh, well, some Russians did that. They got some DNA in a test tube, and they had it in a little test rack and aimed a laser at it to see what would happen. And the laser at first absorbed the light from the laser and started emitting its own signal considerably brighter as it absorbed the energy. And that was what they were predicting in the experiment. They turned off the laser, and the DNA continued to emit this sort of pattern of light that was identifiable to the DNA. And they thought, oh, this is cool. And then they finished up the experiment, and the guy pulled the test tube out, so there was nothing left there that the detection device was reading, and yet a signal continued, and the signal continued for another hour. And so basically there was nothing there but the space that the DNA had been in, and the space had essentially absorbed the energy. And even after you take away the DNA, the space was still broadcasting the signal that the DNA had left.
Wow.
So right there we see DNA able to program space.
That is the truth right there. If you can have DNA program space, then you have it right there. If it's still producing the signal, that's amazing. Wow. Okay. So it isn't a figment of our imagination. I knew it wasn't, but for a lot of people listening, a lot of people are just now getting this. Like, I was on the phone yesterday, with a friend of mine, and, she's actually going back in for some schooling to go back in to get some life coaching and what have you. And she was telling me, we kind of talked about it and I brought it up. She said, I can't even believe that. I never thought about it. She said, she buys things at, you know, garage sales or at pawn shops and what have you. And she said, I never even thought that an inanimate object could have stuff written in it, could have this emotion.
Yeah, what is it? Psychometry. Psychometry is the study of the stuff that is left over in rings and jewelry and things that people wear all the time. Psychics will get a hold of these and be able to describe the experiences that the people who used to wear them had. It's quite amazing that it gets stored so deeply into material things.
I remember my grandmother, my great-grandmother actually had a ring, and she gave it to me before she passed. And my great-grandmother had a rough life, to say the least. And I remember every time I wore that ring, even prior to her passing, something kind of bad happen to me. Something really weird would either happen or something would really bad happen. None of it was ever positive. I can't say, you know, getting pulled over for speeding or getting, you know, getting in a wreck or any of that. So I can't really ever say that that's really positive. So it wasn't a very positive thing for me. And it wasn't until I actually took the ring off and realized there's something odd about this ring in myself. And there's something that's not gelling. Because these things would kind of happen out of the middle of nowhere, or it would put me in kind of a funk. And maybe that funk that it put me in seemed to create these instances of unpleasantness. But I know that a lot of times people don't realize it, but you don't think about those kind of things. And I remember on a recent film, a Harry Potter film, one of the characters actually was able to, I mean, this is obviously a fiction show, but it was able to hide part of their soul in an inanimate object. And, you know, obviously we're not going to that degree, but you can actually have some of your essence, some of your emotion locked into that item.
It is spooky.
It is pretty spooky. So tell me a little bit about what you created to change the situation in this in the environment, not necessarily inanimate objects, but in the room and the environmental type stages.
Well, it can work with inanimate objects also, which is pretty interesting. But basically, it's a device that produces a ray in the mental substance that basically you aim it around a room, and it, like sage, like an electronic sage, it dissolves those thought forms that are there. It basically plays in that level of energy where the thoughts are stored.
That's interesting. I actually have one of those devices. And what is it called?
A scalene light.
Scalene light. And could you define scalene light for us, just for people that are listening?
Yeah, it's what I called it. And it basically is, as I described, a ray in the mental substance that we then modulate with LED light and other ways to put signals in it, such that it's such that it works on this stuff, and it works like a tape, a bulk tape demagnetizer. When you erase old recording tapes all at once, that's kind of what it does. Except it works in the mental field.
That's awesome. So when we return, Perspective is going to continue to discuss a little bit more about what we were discussing about having the energy and writing in the space, but also we're going to move on to delving into limiting beliefs, how we create them, and how to begin observing them, and how to begin getting rid of them. So stay tuned, because Richard Lee will continue to join us, and Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, you know what, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
The galaxy is here!
What do you mean here?
Galaxies, hundreds of millions of stars and planets. How's it here?
You humans, when are you going to learn that size doesn't matter? Just because something's important doesn't mean it's not very, very small.
How small?
Tiny, like the size of a marble or a jewel. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got to be warped before my flight.
All right, get out of here.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, we've been discussing the exploration of energy in both our environment and in objects, both inanimate and things that we wear, and the environment that we come into contact with every day. And you know, it's interesting how when I was talking earlier about the coffee shop, and Richard Lee's been joining us, he's a scientist, inventor, researcher, and author, and also our friend, Richard Lee, has been discussing his work with that energy and how to basically rewrite it. And just like rewriting that type of energy and clearing that out, let's delve into the concept of self-limiting beliefs. And I know, Richard, you and I've had this discussion before, several times actually. We can talk for hours on end about self-limiting beliefs and how to begin to understand them. So I think you put it very clear last night when we were on the phone about how you have to be able to find out how to actually begin observing them.
Yeah, and this is very important. An excellent example is the coffee shop example, where somebody walks into the coffee shop, encounters uncomfortable energy, and thinks, oh, there's something wrong with me. people who were born very energy sensitive tend to assume that energy is not real and it's something that's wrong with them rather than wrong with the world around them. And they begin to withdraw from the world sometimes, thinking, you know, I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me, or blame themselves for things. And that's the birth of a limiting belief.
So how would you explain that to somebody? You know, Richard, if you, I know that you deal with people on a daily basis, being that you're a scientist and you also do a lot of research. How do you discuss and begin talking with them or begin to show them that it's not about them? It's not that they're not good enough. It's actually outside energy or whatever is being projected upon them.
It's really hard to show people that it's not them when it's been their nature forever. For instance, I don't deserve is a very common limiting belief. And their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents might have believed, I don't deserve, or I need to suffer in my work in order to justifiably make money. I cannot have fun. I have to suffer. All of these sort of beliefs are things that our ancestors believed, and they come to us through our DNA, and they're just embedded in us. So that makes it really hard to explain to people, oh, yeah, you have a limiting belief that is influencing your life and making you make uncomfortable or negative or self-destructive decisions.
I actually have two relatives, I can't say who, on the air right now, but both of them think that way. Like, they both think they have to fight for everything. They always say life is a fight and you got to fight for everything you've ever had and you got to fight and go to battle for it. And I'm thinking, I don't think you have to go to battle for everything. I think sometimes, you know, it's not like it falls in your lap, but I don't think you have to fight for everything.
Yeah. You don't have to fight for anything. That's part of the rules if you step into that reality. But we're so much taught by this world around us. Through grades, for instance, unless you get a grade that's better than, you have to beat out somebody else to get a top grade. And everything is, we've got to fight for it. And that's just a belief system that people don't need to live by, but they often choose to because, as we said before, their parents did, or that's just what they were taught as they were children.
How do you begin to observe these? You have to just basically watch yourself. And that's what I tell clients is that sometimes you have to watch. It's not necessarily what you hear anymore in your mind, but you have to watch the choices you make.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're choosing something that's not going to be helpful for you, or you're choosing less because you believe that you deserve less, that might be the ding, 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 ding. What do we have for them? That might be like the wake up call that you might have, you know, limiting beliefs.
Very often we will observe ourselves making a bad choice, thinking, well, this is not the best choice. I do that with cinnamon rolls. I'll see a cinnamon roll and think, oh, I'm not going to like that. I'm going to regret eating, you know, these giant cinnamon rolls. And yet I watch myself eat each bite and think, I really should just throw this thing away, but I can't stop. All I can do is observe myself continuing to do it. So observing ourselves helps us to learn that, you know, if we just do it blindly, just ignore what we're doing, we don't learn anything. But if we observe ourselves in the process of doing things which we consider to be unnecessary, dysfunctional, or anything like that, then we begin to reshape our belief patterns. So that we can undermine these limiting beliefs.
So eventually there's a time when you go to the shop and you look at the cinnamon rolls and you say, okay, no cinnamon roll today. I'm overcoming this one.
It's so hard to do.
It is. It's like there's an addiction there. I mean, I had an addiction to movie butter popcorn when I was a kid. I used to love movie butter popcorn, but every single time I ate it, I knew I was going to get sick. And every single movie I went to with my family, literally when we were leaving the theater, I would literally go to the theater bathroom and get sick. You know, like just bleh. And I knew that I just couldn't process the oil, but I went back every single weekend and ate it. And then finally, one day, I put my foot down. But it was really awful because in the theater, you can always hear like the bags and the crackling of the bags. And you know how people chomp really loud when they're in theaters and you can hear it. And I was just like, it was like all around me. I almost had to like run. I thought I needed to go to rehab.
Or what about the corn nuts, Ashley? Those are the worst, aren't they?
Oh, they're so loud. Like chomp, chomp, chomp. Yeah. And those are the things. And I think sometimes, yeah, you're right. We can observe them and that makes us aware. But then it's getting to that next level and saying, okay, I'm aware of my dysfunction. Where do I go from here?
Yeah. So you're saying when you're aware of the dysfunction and yet it's very, very permanent, it just continues there and doesn't seem to budge.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I've researched this considerably. And it appears that there is an etheric template, which is an energy like in the aura of the body, the energy field that surrounds the body. There's a layer that when you cut yourself or something, this layer is intelligent. It knows exactly where to put each cell as your body heals. And this layer also brings in all these limiting beliefs that we get from our ancestors. And it just is it's so precise about where everything is supposed to be. It doesn't easily lose our limiting beliefs. So I developed a device to soften those limiting beliefs so that we can more easily get in touch with them and release them.
I'm actually looking forward to being able to hold that device. I can't wait to do some scientific discovery and research for myself. Can you explain how that device works?
Okay. It's actually a combination of the scalene light technology, creating that mental ray, and producing magnetic fields within that ray. The magnetic level of the body is our emotional body. And emotions, of course, are those things that drive us forward, that put our body, our lives into motion. So when I reach for that cinnamon roll or you reach for that popcorn, it is that the emotions, this magnetic body that throws us into action. So we have an unpredictable signal that drives deep into the body through this ray from the scalene light. And it just basically softens up all those limiting beliefs so that we can let go of them much more easily.
And so then actually, if you soften them up and let them go with the use of your device that you created, you would probably then want to probably work with somebody or a support group or a coach or a counselor to help you kind of go through that. And also to realize that as you go through these limiting beliefs and you basically take them one by one away, you're going to be a little vulnerable. And that's okay. That's really okay.
We actually have not seen the vulnerability in this aspect of it. It's really like working with a coach to set down my objectives. What is it that I find dysfunctional or uncomfortable about my life the way I'm living it? And then apply the infratonic S, that's the device. And then see over the next few weeks how our lives change, how we don't react the way we used to react to things. It's just like it all softens up. It's not like we have to struggle through things to get rid of them. It's like they're dissolved and our life just sort of evolves. So it's important to have objectives. We have to see where we were before and where we want to get to, because unless we have a benchmark, we don't even notice that our limiting beliefs are gone. We just think, oh, no jerks came into my life today, rather than I'm not responding to people in the way I used to.
That's awesome. I've read your book, Opening to Abundance, Clearing Limitations to Grow in Love, Joy, and Bliss, and I really love that book. I've read it 3 times. It is so great.
Thank you.
And anybody that wants more information on Richard Lee, as well as we're going to do another show here in the next few weeks I have the scalene light, and so we're going to actually do some processing, and I'm going to take Billy Boy with me, and we're going to go to some coffee shops and do some testing with the scalene light, as well as the Irfotonic S here, and actually work on our own self-limiting beliefs.
Oh, that sounds like such joy, Ashley. Gee, I can't wait.
Oh, I know. You're going to love it. You know, when it's all said and done, you're going to be like, it was awesome. Hey, Richard, we really appreciate you coming on Perspectives.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure always to speak with you.
Thank you. And I look forward to having you back on. We'll do some research and you and I will talk in the meantime. I plan on doing a lot of phone conversations and some phone conferencing. And also, I can't wait to have you back on and us talking about these results.
Yes, I really look forward to hearing your results with this because it is fun.
I'm looking forward to it. And so thank you so much, Richard Lee, for coming on. We look forward to having you come back on and we'll have a great show. But thank you so much, and we learned a lot today.
Thank you.
Good night. And Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, we've had an interesting discussion with Richard Lee, scientist, inventor, writer, author, and a researcher. And he was talking with us about the exploration of energy that we find in both our environment and in objects, as well as we were talking about limiting self-beliefs. You know, the energy that we find in environments and objects are very interesting. And I didn't really know that they really resided in objects until recently. And I did know that when I walk into certain places, I think Bill and I both talked about that. When you walk into certain places and you get that kind of uneasy feeling,
yeah,
or
the arms on your, the hairs on your arm stand up.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's extreme. I think that's like an extreme feeling. But yeah, like the headache, instantaneous headache, or, you know, just the general malaise or anger or angst or stress. I mean, haven't you ever walked in somewhere and you were like at the top of your game, feeling great, looking great, going, man, I feel great today. And all of a sudden you walk in somewhere and you're like, all of a sudden your back hurts and you're stressed out.
Well, for me, and we kind of talked about this during the break, but for me, if I'm in a group of people, mm-hmm. where there's stress going on, you know, there's angst or anger or whatever, then I pick up on that pretty fast. Uh-oh, you know, something's going on here. That
right.
type of thing. You know, my little internal radar goes off. But I've never walked in just an empty room. You know, kind of like you and Richard were talking about, mm-hmm. you know, the energy coming out of inanimate objects. I've never personally have felt that.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have to do some research then.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you were talking about testing that, what do you call it, the
scaling light? We're going to test that out. And I've actually tested it here, and I did some research with some clients, and it really has changed the people that I have tried it with. It's actually made them feel better, more at peace, more clear-headed. They were going through stressful situations in their life. I don't know. It's very interesting. I think that, you know, from a coach and from a counselor perspective, you know, I think you got to give things a try. And I think there's a lot more research we need to do. But I do think that he's on to something. I mean, the guy's a genius. And that's something that he's just a genius. And you can tell just by the way he talks, you know, he's a scientist. And I wanted to bring him on because he is a genuine scientist. He is someone that's done this in the field. He is someone that's researched this. And I think a lot of times we can understand from the negativity, from the energy suckers, like what you said, Bill, about by being around people that happen to have that attribute of being an energy sucker or somebody that's in a negative or bad mood.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we both agree that exists.
That people there, which by the way, Ashley, you know, for our listeners, I want to just clarify, we're not talking about ghosts and goblins and, you know, the house is haunted and, you know, we got to sit around a table, have a seance, you know.
No seance here.
You know, that's not what you're talking about.
No. Yeah, exactly. I know that some of it can sound a little hoo-hoo, a little kind of out there. But yeah, anything can have energy. And I think a lot of times we miss the fact that every single thing we own has energy. Like, people don't realize that the carpet you have has energy, the walls, the wood that is the floor on the ground, the wood panels, the wood flooring, that has energy. We have energy. All animals, all plants, all life form, all non-form have energy. It takes energy to make energy. And I think a lot of times we don't realize that that energy is real. And it might not be in our body, and it might not be attached to us, but it's still there.
You know who you sound like right now?
Who?
Yoda.
Oh, do it?
Surrounds us, the Force does.
Mm, funny you are, Bill. Yeah, no, do I sound like Yoda?
I'm kidding. No, no, I mean, that's how nerdy I am. That description kind of sounds like the Force, you know.
That's
from the,
good.
From the Star Wars movies. But no, I mean.
I love that, though. That was great. That means I'm right on that. No, it's true, though. Everything has energy, and everything has, like, this form. And I think that if we look at it from that perspective and realize that it might not look like us, it might be an object, but it was made with some sort of energy. And I think that's something we need to look at. I would like to try that Infotronic S. I want to try that on the self-limiting behavior and limiting laws and beliefs, because I know we all have them. I have them. I know that you have them. I mean, I think I've worked a lot lately in the last 10 years to work on my self-limiting beliefs. However, I always knew that there was something that was holding me back, and I always observed how I would make bad choices. And yeah. Those bad choices were like basically saying, hey, Ashley, you obviously either don't care enough about yourself because you chose this. You don't believe in yourself enough because you chose not to do this because you think you might as well quit now because it's never going to work anyway. Right? Why waste your time if it's never going to work?
Sure.
You know, why do you even get out of bed in the morning? Nothing good's going to ever happen. I mean, put your bathrobe back on, you know, and sit down and watch some TV and go get some Depends undergarments so you don't ever have to get up and ever have to leave the TV. I mean, honestly, sometimes I know our mind says crazy things like that, or sometimes we don't even hear that. We just make the choice instead of going to work one day, or instead of going to that job interview, or instead of going on that date, you say, yeah, I might as well not do it because it's not going to work anyway.
I mean, and I know people like that who they're just so negative. I think I've told you this before. There's a person I used to work with when I was in the insurance industry. She had an excuse for the reason why she has excuses.
Oh yeah,
you know, and that kind of person just sucks the life out of the room. You know, it does
because they have an excuse for sucking the life out of the room
too. Because exactly.
They didn't do it; it wasn't their fault. Someone else did it. It was always somebody else because they didn't do anything. Because it's not their problem, and they don't know why.
Yeah, it's like the whole world's against them, mm-hmm. and you know why should she even try? Because why should she even try to sell that policy? Because she already knows that even if she does, she's going to get in trouble. You know, or she's going to be marked down for not saying the right thing or whatever. You know, it's like I dreaded the days I had to work with her.
I think we've all dealt with people like that. And that's why, you know, my first and third book, you know, I talk about energy suckers and negativity, and those people can just suck the life out of you. And just like that, you have to understand kind of where your energy is going. And when you're surrounded by people like that, you really have to ask yourself, one, why? Two, does that show anything about me? Is that mirroring me in any way? And three, if it's not, I need to make a move. I need to go. And either way, I need to realize that, you know, positive works. And I think I'm interested because I'm always one of those people, I want to see how something works. And I think when you and I, we're not the Ghostbusters. We're actually doing, you know, actual research.
We're not going to go kill the Marshmallow Man.
No. Well, you know, maybe we will do that too. I want to have cool costumes though. But I think if we go check out the Scaling Light and we go check that out, and I think we need to go to that very crowded large chain coffee shop. We'll go there together, we'll test it out, as well as let's try out the Infotronic and let's find out, and we'll try it on Bill. And you know, we should do it on the air. I think that would be good. We'll do it on the air and we'll see what happens, and we'll come up with something. But you know, we'll see how it goes. It was a great night with you.
Well, thanks. Great night with you, and great interview with Richard. That was really good.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It's something that I know most people listening tonight probably haven't heard of. And, you know, we're just opening the mind to some thoughts and ideas and some truth. So stay tuned. Next week, we got a great show for you. And in the meantime, guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.